Blog Talk Radio.
Silhouettes of tiny breath holding on. Little tears and all the years holding on. Oh,
hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 289 shows and counting. And we're going to have a wonderful show this evening again, and welcome these guests, I mean, these amazing guests that has all this important information and you know, guiding you to take action for the animals in need, which they do. They don't have a voice like we do. They can't fight back. They can't defend themselves. So we're all about getting changes made to make these animals' lives better, their life, you know, for their futures, and to live comfortably and in peace and, you know, dignity and respect. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, on live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. I just want to go over a couple things before I get the show started this evening. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. And that is www.ppjg.me. And all you have to do is press listen live here. It will lead you to Blog Talk Radio. And if you miss any of these shows or you come in late, you can always go back and listen to them 24/7, 365 days a year. And on how to get to that is on the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand column. Just search Voices Carry for Animals, and it'll take you to all the links, and you press which one you want to hear, and it will lead you to Blog Talk Radio, and you can share from the left side of the screen. The TS Radio Network, where I did 163 shows with Marty Oakley, give her a big shout-out. She has some hot topics going on during the week, so please check her out. That's Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. And you can get to that as Blog Talk Radio and search TS Radio Network. And my voice is Carry for Animals. The first show up to the 163rd show is on there. And then you just, you on the search on Blog Talk Radio, just put in TS Radio and then Voices Carry for Animals, and all those links should pop up. But anyway, I'm going to go over the show. All these shows are recorded live and archived, and you can listen in worldwide, and I'll give you the number. I'm going to take calls later on in the show, probably around 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and that number, and I have the same phone number every Thursday, so if you want to put it in your contacts, that's area code 310-982-4270. Press 1. You'll be in the queue and alert me that you want to speak to the guest. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. because we are the voices of the animals, and we must be heard. And voices do carry for the animals. It's a human chain reaction to take action, everyone. So we don't want to just close our eyes and our mouths and our ears to all the cruelty and neglect and abuse going on out there, because victories do happen. Just take that moment and call your state legislators and you know, be nice and respectful and get your word across on what you want to do. You can ask for a constituent bill proposal form for 2021. Ask the state rep or the legislative assistant to mail you one or email you a form, fill it out, and what will happen, it'll go to draft, get approved, and then go into legislation. So you can start right from the beginning and be a part of it. So everyone, do your part. Whatever issue you have, whether it's BSL or dog chaining, I mean, there's a huge list here that we can think of to get changes made, positive changes made in 2021. So let's all put a love in our heart and do our part. And we have a new guest coming on this evening. He is Malcolm Klimowitz, and he's an animal rights activist on in-fur farming campaign. I'm sorry. And he's on us with us tonight. I want to welcome him aboard. How are you doing there, Malcolm? Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Debbie. How you doing?
Hey, so far so good. Excited about the show, you know, and I always love standing up for the animals. So whatever we can do to help out to make their lives better and improve them and living in peace. But you want to go ahead and tell the audience out there how, you know, what your out there doing. You're the animal rights activist. You're doing a great job, and thank you for all the inspiring work you're doing to end this fur farming, because these animals go through torture and abuse and, I mean, neglect. It's terrible. And some of the videos
I've seen firsthand.
Whoa. Go right ahead.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so some background about myself. So I'm a longtime vegan. I've been doing animal rights activism probably for the last 7 or 8 years. I used to live in Ontario, and we ran a huge campaign there, hashtag end fur farming. So we had multiple groups started in 2017. Different animal rights groups got together, and we decided to kind of tackle fur farming and like start the conversation in the public to move towards a ban on fur farming, just like many countries have already done in Europe. We've seen recently California pass a ban on the retail of fur sales, so they can't even sell fur coats in California anymore in the stores there. New York's looking at a ban. So we took all these people, you know, hundreds of people, and we toured around Ontario to different areas protesting at fur farms, mostly mink farms that they have there. There's about 40 in the province. So, yeah, we held demonstrations there. We held demonstrations at politicians' offices. We started a petition with a member of provincial parliament to have a ban on fur farming that was submitted to the Ontario legislature. And the campaign grew and grew, and part of the campaign was me doing a citizen's inspection of the fur industry. So we had seen video footage from other sources, you know, the animals in these farms, you know, going through horrible neglect and abuse, basically. So as part of the investigation, I visited 5 different mink farms in different regions across southern Ontario. And I videotaped and documented what I saw. So this basically involved me going to these farms at night. You know, I'm driving for hours and hours. We get to the farm, you know, enter the farm with my video camera. And it's not easy to get into these farms. Like, they're basically, you know, the Fort Knox of animal agriculture these days. They have cameras that move around that are remote controlled. They have barbed wire fences. Some of them are even electrified to electrocute people from getting in there. And then, you know, when you get through the security, they even have like guard dogs on some of these farms that can go after you. So it's not an easy thing. Not just anybody can do this, but, I'd seen a documentary that came out of Norway recently. At the time, basically activists were going on to hundreds of farms and documenting what they saw. They created a documentary called Inside Fur, basically, and this documentary, it was so powerful that it led to the ban of fur farming in that country. So that was discussed, the documentary was discussed in Parliament there, so as part of our actions, I went around Ontario documenting this, because I guess up until then, the conversation mostly in the animal rights community and like in the newspapers is that fur farming is something that's happening in China, you know, or Russia or somewhere. And I wanted to show people it's happening in their own backyard, like this the stuff. And, you know, I get on these farms and the things I'm seeing at these mink farms is, you know, sometimes 10 animals to a cage. There's only supposed to be one. And you got to remember these are wire cages. They're mesh. They're about the size of two sheets of regular white paper. So the animals can almost barely not turn around in some of these. The farms were not clean at all. So the cages are rusted. They got spider webs, bugs all over them. The animals are defecating inside their cages. They're covered in feces. They go to the bathroom through the holes in the cage, and it falls onto the floor below them. And I guess the industry is supposed to clean it up or something, but they, obviously, you know, these things hadn't been cleaned for months and months. There were, like, literally troughs of urine that were probably, you know, like, hundreds of feet long. These sheds are, like, industrial fur farms because, like, tens of thousands of minks on these farms. And the urine creates pneumonia, poisonous toxic gas. You know, it's causing lung infections in these animals, eye infections. I see these animals, you know, they're attacking each other, ripping each other's ears off. You know, some animals have their eyes hanging out. I even saw, like, dead animals in cages with living ones. The living animals are forced to be in these cages. It's just a horrific sight. And, you know, I don't know if I want to say I had post-traumatic stress disorder from witnessing this, but I had nightmares for a long time after visiting these places. Just the disgusting treatment of these animals, all for fashion, too. This is nothing useful at all in society. Completely ridiculous, unnecessary, and, you know, these fur farmers think they're entitled to just do whatever they want to animals without any kind of recourse, right? Because the Ontario government at the time was not doing any kind of inspections, nor had done any inspections in, like, the last 10 years of these fur farms. The SPCA doesn't do inspections unless somebody calls them, but nobody calls them because, you know, there's only a handful of people working on these farms. Usually it's family members or employees that are hired who are, like, illegal immigrants or, like, people that were, like, ex-felons that have a hard time getting work and will do anything, and they're not going to, you know, snitch on themselves for getting money. So basically, yeah, I videotaped all this stuff. You know, this isn't at one farm either. You got to remember, this is at least five mink farms. I'm seeing all this stuff. Stereotypical behavior, you know, these animals are pacing back and forth in the cage. And I took all this footage and I handed it over to the authorities. And I made short videos of each farm and I broadcast it online over the internet. So every day for 1 week, I think it was January 2017, I posted a video of a different farm every day. So the whole week, the entire animal rights community and the public were you know, finding out about a farm in their area. So, like, farms close to London, Ontario, or near Toronto, near Kingston. The media jumped on it. So they were playing footage from some of these farms. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of news stories run about, you know, the mink industry, the fur farm industry in Ontario. So we were basically using the media to advocate for these animals by producing these videos. My hope, starting out in this investigation, this public inquiry, was that, you know, the SPCA would charge these farmers or at least do something to help the animals, because I had seen actions like this in other countries. You know, people go in, they expose animal abuse, something's done to help, but Ontario has gone completely the opposite direction. So after this, the investigation, and because of my activism and the success of the End Fur Farming campaign, the momentum that the campaign had, I was charged by three different fur farmers for break and enter at their fur farms. But you got to remember, I'm just walking around these farms. I didn't damage any property. I went to the farms to check on the welfare of the animals, basically. I didn't release any animals. There was actually no trace of me being there whatsoever. I hear some of the farmers didn't even know I was there until the videos were released online. So, you know, no damage, but I'm facing serious criminal charges, or one left. I defeated two charges in two different jurisdictions for that. Basically, one was downgraded to a trespassing fine, but unfortunately, one of the farmers is still out to get me. So I do have a trial coming up. It's November 30th at the end of the month. It starts, and it lasts for a whole week. It goes until December 4th. And I was hoping to have a rally. We had many rallies at all these different courthouses I had to attend. Dozens of activists showing up in the media and everything. And due to COVID-19 and the pandemic and social distancing, they wouldn't basically, none of the public would be allowed inside the courtroom. And, you know, this case, you know, it's not just about me being charged. This is us putting the fur industry on trial. So anybody can watch online now. At the end of the month, they can call the trial coordinator and get a Zoom link. So everybody, you know, anywhere in the world, I guess, can watch this trial now. As far as I know, it's one of the first animal rights trial to be like 100% online where anybody could watch. So quite an interesting new thing that's happening.
Yeah, and there's going to be there's and everyone, all the listeners out there, if you go to the PPJ Gazette online, there's a Facebook event for the mink trial, which is in Kingston, you know, Ontario, November 30th at 9 a.m. Eastern through December 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please spread the word about this, especially ones in Canada, and help Malcolm out here. He needs all of our support. Because what he's doing, I mean, he's protecting the animals. He's going in and seeing, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. And if they're not doing anything wrong or, you know, treating the animals right, there's nothing to worry about. You know, they shouldn't complain about that because we're the only, you know, the animals' hope to carry on and to live comfortably. And they're living through a living hell, and that's not right. So there is also a petition on the PPJ Gazette, if you would sign it. It is, you know, to ban fur farming in Ontario. And that is also, you know, please put your signature on there. The last time I looked, there was 11,385 signatures and counting. So on the change.org. It's on there, so please pass and share it to other social media sites, because I know once we get this petition started, it could go viral and hit a lot of, you know, areas and get a lot of signatures, because Malcolm needs our support, everyone, everything we can do to help him. And we'll be thinking of you that day, Malcolm. We'll be standing with you.
Yeah, thank you.
You
yeah.
know, and...
And,
yeah,
yeah, I'd like your listeners to know, you know, it's not just me. I'm not the only person that's going out onto farms and documenting the cruelty that's happening. There's, you know, dozens of other activists like Amy Serrano in BC, who recently did the Meet the Victims. They went on to the Excelsior pig farm there, and they documented animal cruelty and exposed it. And this is a terrible thing that we're finding in Canada now, is that there's a huge pushback against animal rights. By the government and the animal agriculture industry. We're seeing ag-gag law passed in Alberta recently. And then Bill 156 ag-gag legislation was recently passed in Ontario. So that law actually targets exactly basically actions that I've taken. So it enhances trespassing fines onto farms, adds other kinds of penalties for people above and beyond the regular trespass consequences. It also makes illegal undercover investigations by groups like Mercy for Animals when they get the undercover employee, to work at some kind of animal exploitation enterprise. That's illegal now. You can't do that in Ontario anymore. They also banned the SAVE movement from doing vigils. They can't stop slaughter trucks anymore and watch the pigs when they go to slaughter. That's been made more illegal. you know, this is a direct response to activists taking direct action for animals. And, you know, the reason why people are going on to these farms is because the animals are suffering and nobody's doing anything about it. The government, you know, it's a joke. When you try to reach out to the government to do anything, they basically laugh at activists. There was recently some news segment with the Ontario Minister of Agriculture. His name's Ernie Hardman. He's basically, you know, promoting this duck farm that, you know, dozens of activists went in there in the wintertime. And, you know, they videotaped, you know, ducks basically living on a metal grate. Their webbed feet are falling through the cracks. They can't move around. There's no sunlight. You know, these ducks have no kind of hope or any kind of life at all. And, you know, he's like heralding this duck factory farm as being some kind of like, you know, prominent and exemplary farm that people should follow and like, you know, look up to. And, you know, it's a horrifying, we expose it as a horrifying place. So the reality, you know, is, you know, the government's trying to push back against very successful animal rights campaigns. And, you know, the court is the end result of this. And, you know, I don't really care, you know, obviously I want to win, but I think it's more important that we have, you know, these kind of things go to trial and the public can, you know, see firsthand what's going on. Because I guarantee you, most people don't support animal abuse. And if they knew what was going on, they would do anything to stop it. I guess I'll talk to you a little bit about the documentary that I was featured in recently. A documentary by a newer director, Taimur Choudhury. He went around and interviewed lots of people about the fur industry, including me. So this summer I flew out to BC and we did some shooting out in the forest there. It was really nice. I'd never been there. So it was a pretty cool little trip I got to take. But yeah, they basically went and talked to animal justice, fur bearer defenders. They have an interview in the documentary from an ex-fur farm employee, so actually somebody who worked on a mink farm and had to kill minks, and he turned his back on the industry because it made him so sick to see what was happening to these animals. Now he spends a lot of his life, you know, caring for animals from these farms. He has minks and ferrets and stuff like this, and he speaks out against the fur industry. And I think one of the most shocking things from the film, aside from my investigation, is the director went into the North American fur auction in Toronto, which is, I think, the second largest fur auction in the world. And he had undercover footage from the president there, the NAFA fur auction president, basically explaining how they deceive consumers about where their fur is sourced from. So basically, if any fur goes into the auction from anywhere in the world, they alter it in some way. They can say it's Canadian made. So you got fur coming from China, Russia, you know, wherever, where they don't have any kind of, you know, good animal laws. I would argue Canada doesn't have good animal protection laws either. But, you know, the consumers think they're getting Canadian-made fur, but it's not even from here. And, you know, a myriad of other ways that the fur industry misleads people, telling people fur is green somehow. But, you know, they use, like, heavy chemicals for fur, the animal cruelty involved, the environmental destruction from these intensive factory farms. I know in 2015, the David Suzuki Foundation, along with other organizations, wrote a scathing report about the mink industry in Nova Scotia. And they got hundreds of mink farms there along three river systems. And the runoff with nitrogen, the manure, all the stuff that was piling up on the farms is just being dumped in the rivers. They basically destroyed three river systems, their entire rivers. It was like the Yarmouth, and I can't remember the other two names, but people can't drink the water there, can't be used for swimming or recreation. Animals can't use it. You know, this is the mink industry just destroying animals' lives, destroying our health, destroying the environment, so that somebody could look ridiculous wearing a fur coat. So it's insanity, and that's why these documentaries are being made. That's why these campaigns are happening, because it needs to happen.
There's so much going on. I mean, and thank you for doing everything you're doing, because it needs to be put in the spotlight and attention and fixed and get these animals right back, you know, to live comfortably. I mean, 10 and you say 10 in a cage, some of them, that is terrible.
Yeah, some of them.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, they don't treat them like they're living creatures. look at them as a source of money. But, you know, there is some good news. Aside from all these bans happening, you know, the fur industry has basically been destroyed this year like no other because of the COVID-19. All over Europe, countries are forcing mink farmers to cull their animals because it turns out the mink farms are one of the number one sources for spreading COVID-19. I actually just read today that the virus has the capability or like has mutated or something on a mink farm, I think in Denmark. So I think there's going to be a lot more culling of animals, unfortunately, but you know, they're going to die anyway for fur. It's better that the industry gets destroyed from the inside out this way. You know, we're seeing also the infections of COVID-19 happening at mink farms recently in Michigan and Utah. And I also heard other good news against the fur industry that the North American fur auction for the first time this year didn't have an auction because they went they had their main creditor pulled out or whatever. It wasn't a bankruptcy, but basically they owe people like millions of dollars because the fur has been hit so bad. Pelt prices went from like 130 to like 30 bucks. The mink farmers aren't making any money, you know. Everybody's going under, and then the pressure from animal rights campaigns is key right now. This year, above any other year, I tell people to go after the fur industry because they're hurting really bad. Let's put the nail in the coffin and, you know, fur is dead. Let's keep it dead.
Right, exactly. And also, Malcolm, I wanted to bring this up to the audience. A GoFundMe for the mink trial. Everyone, if you can help him out any way you can. You know, 5, 10, 15, anything helps for his expenses of, you know, going to court. And like I said, there's on a Facebook event, and this information you can have a big article on the PPJ Gazette online. The petition's on there, the GoFundMe, the website for, you know, www.infurfarming.com. Anything that you can help out with, even the trailer of the Real Fur documentaries on there, if you want to check it out. You know, like if you want to come back to it later, just go to the PPJ Gazette online and on the right-hand column, search Voices Carry for Animals, and it's going to lead you all these archive shows. And just press the, you know, link you want to listen to. And please share and spread the word, because the bigger the audience out there, and I thank all you for tuning in, the better for the animals. And, you know, whatever we can do to help them out, because our actions lead to the animals' victory. So, you know, make a better life for them and do what's right, because they cannot speak out.
Yeah, for sure.
So please do your part.
I have
spread the word.
Yeah, for the GoFundMe, I just want to remind the listeners, all the money is going to my lawyers, and they're all vegan. So I have four, you know, crack specialist vegan lawyers, Gary Grill and his associates were the same lawyers that represented Anita Crank in the pig trial. If people are familiar with that, where Anita tried to give water to a pig on a slaughter truck, and she was charged with mischief for trying to give water to a pig. And was a very massive case. I approached them hoping that I could use the media against the fur industry, too, with this. Aside from that, though, like, you know, there's not just this campaign. There's many anti-fur campaigns happening right now. We recently have been – I'm in Montreal now for the last couple of years, so we've been protesting outside of Red Sac, which is a famous notorious retail brand. They use tons and tons of fur in their clothing. You know, foxes, raccoon dogs, rabbits are all gutted and killed for their stupid coats. So we protest outside the retail outlets all the time. We went to their sidewalk sale recently and protested that, you know, making it unbearable for them to do business. So we're showing up at these places. We got signs of the animals. They're pretty gruesome, so people can know what's going on. We're giving people leaflets. We do speakouts on megaphones. Sometimes we enter the stores and do speakouts. Recently, one of the fun things the activists in Montreal did, people got together and went to the – somehow found the Red Sac CEO or the owner of Red Sack, we found his multi-million dollar mansion, and we protested in a very rich part of the city. I don't think people in the neighborhood had ever seen a protest there before, but we basically went to this guy's house and, you know, showed everybody where this guy makes his money from all his neighbors. And all his neighbors were supporting us. You know, they didn't even like the guy. So that tells you something there.
Good. That's a plus, because, you know, once you're out there and, you know, it be very peaceful, protest. You know, that's what matters. That's where you get farther, because, you know, rioting or violence, or you don't get, nobody gets anywhere with that. You know, I never understood why they even do it. Contact your legislators. That's the first step. Violence doesn't even have to be there at all. I mean, it can be so peaceful. And next week, Malcolm, I have a show on farm animals, you know, and they need, I mean, animals from every angle need our help some way or another. And
For sure.
Next week, everyone, Humane Society of the United States is coming on. Kate Brindle, have to welcome her back about farm animals, because I know we're going to bring up these pigs that's, you know, hey, you're trying to give them water, and then there's all these problems, and they're living so uncomfortably. You know, they don't have no social life. They're crammed in these crates. So, you know, when the more exposure on this, the better it is for the animals. You know, so please, everyone, spread the word out there. Wayne Pacelli, last week we brought that up, Malcolm, about the fur farming and, you know, anti-fur. He's the president of the Animal Wellness Action. And I told about this show.
Yep.
I said, see, we keep going like this and bringing it up and not letting it get on the back burner, there's going to be some attention get caught, you know. So everyone do your part. And like next week.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure. This is the year to do it.
That's right.
Recently,
I
know one of my activist friends, a couple of them started a campaign the other year to get winners to go for free. It's like a used retail, like refurbished clothing. And they would often have fur in their stores, and people would go in there and see it. And they started a direct action campaign. So they're getting people all over Canada to go into Winners and basically do speak us disruptions. And if people are comfortable doing that, they were just collecting all the fur in a shopping cart and bringing it to the manager and talking to the manager about it. And then there were also days where, you know, dozens and dozens, maybe like hundreds of activists were calling TJX, which is the owner of Winners, HomeSense, all these companies, and basically jamming their phone lines so they couldn't operate at all, shutting their phone lines down for an entire day, multiple times. So, you know, talking to the managers, you know, doing these petitions, most importantly, doing direct actions, speak outs. This is all on for, you know, kicked out of society. You know, these animals' lives are very important to them, if nobody else, and we need to keep moving in that direction.
Going into the right direction. That's what you call it. You know, not giving up, being relentless, and seeing, you know, you want to see action being taken. In order to see change, we got to take action, everyone. We can't just sit idle. And I know this radio platform, you know, it brings out a lot of, you know, bad guests from all over the United States of America and some foreign, or, you know, some of the countries out there. So, you know, you can listen in worldwide, unlimited listeners. And, you know, the more people that come in on this audience, the better. I mean, the action will be taken, because there's still a lot of, I mean, great activists like yourself, Malcolm, that's out there stepping up to the plate and doing what you need to do, you know, and the animals especially thank us when their lives turn for the better and their futures. They can't tell us personally, but when you see them living better and happier and running free, it's heartwarming and it's meaningful. We know that we're not spinning our wheels, and I've seen a lot of victories come through. And I can't take credit, but I am involved, and it's so uplifting. It just makes me keep going. It doesn't stop there. Okay, next one, you know, you might get out there and change a life for an animal for the better, but look what you've done. I mean, every effort counts. And then when there comes into, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands of them, that's amazing, you know. when it comes in, better laws, stronger laws, harsher penalties for animal abuse, and these ones behind the scenes, you know, these animals got to get treated a lot more, a lot better. We don't need mink coats. Do we, Malcolm? Do we really need mink coats? No. You know, we could change
not,
so
not
much.
Not one person needs a mink coat except the mink.
Right, exactly. That's the most important one right there. I mean, it's not a necessity out there. So we could do without. I mean, just look at it. And if you want to see some, it's terrible how these animals get treated or how their fur comes off and the pain and torture they go through with. Just so somebody can have a fur coat.
Yeah, they even have fake fur now. The faux fur, it's almost indistinguishable from the real stuff. You know, high-end designers are making the switch. We hear every month a new designer dropping fur and switching either to no fur or faux fur, which is much better, you know, this day and age, for sure.
I've seen it, and it is nice. I mean, you can't really tell the difference. You know, just like I looked at it, I was like, wow, that looks great. Wouldn't that be just replace it with ox and this, you know, and PA people listen? You know how many lives would be saved for these animals? I mean, it would be amazing. And if you look at some of the pictures and educate yourself, everyone, you know, some of the videos I can't stand watching. I can't finish watching them because they're so cruel. And injustice for these animals. But it's the truth and reality of what's going on out there in this world. So if you don't like it and you disapprove, take action. You know, don't buy that fur coat. You don't need it. You know, just substitute stuff without hurting these animals and killing them. Because, I mean, how many have to die before, you know, a lot of them, it's like, so many per year. And it's like, wow, where's these animals' rights at? You know, the way they're getting treated. What is it, thrown out, you know, out, kicked to the curb? Is that the way a lot of them are being treated? We have to do something. We can't just close our eyes and our mouths and our ears and take care of these animals. All lives matter out there, including the animals, everyone. And that's what we have to look at, every single one of them. Not, you know, just not just the dogs and cats and horses and rabbits. We got to think of all of them because they're so important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sometimes I think it seems to people, like activists especially, like they're, you know, if we look at it from day to day, it doesn't seem like things are changing very much or can feel that way. But if you look at the last, like, 10 years in Canada, the animal rights movement has, like, exploded. Veganism has exploded. I know in the last 5 years alone, basically every kind of meat product's been replicated and made available. You know, like A&W's got the Beyond Burgers now, and so do like a ton of other retail chains. You know, you can go into any grocery store basically now, and about half the milk section is like plant-based milks. We got plant-based cheeses, all this stuff. So stuff that wasn't available for people, you know, even 5 years ago is now widespread. It's everywhere. It's basically the same price as, like, you know, an animal-based product. And then if you look at the animal rights campaigns in Canada in the last few years, it's amazing the victories we've gotten. For example, whale captivity has been banned in Canada now. At one point in time, you know, in the 90s, nobody would have even blinked an eye and ever thought that was possible. But because of campaigns like SeaWorld and campaigns against Marineland in Niagara Falls, Canada, and the Vancouver Aquarium, you know, it's banned now. There's never going to be another whale or dolphin in captivity in this country.
See
circuses dropping, you know, animals like elephants aren't being used in circuses or zoos anymore. We're seeing the removal of the big cats like tigers, lions. You know, there's the Bowmanville Zoo is closed down in Ontario and other places. You know, and these are all cumulative. Another example would be the Kalesh or the horse riots in Old Montreal. So any given day in the last forever, you could go down there and see, you know, like 10, 20 different, like, horse carriages dragging stupid people around. That's been banned. So no
yes,
more horses. There's a campaign in Niagara on the lake right now, a huge campaign to get horse carriages banned there. And, you know, all this stuff at some point to everyone thought it was intangible, it was unattainable, it was impossible almost. But, you know, because of some determined people, and it's not even a lot of people. It always starts off with like one or two people just, you know, hammering it out, doing these campaigns, doing the protests, doing the grassroots actions, the petitions, the media. It's like a handful of people that initiate this stuff. It spreads like wildfire. It just takes one person sometimes to yell out in a room and be like, hey, that's wrong. I don't believe in that. I don't think we should support it. Everybody else has been sitting quiet, but they've been thinking the same thing. It just takes one person to say it sometimes, and everybody just, you know, all of a sudden has an epiphany, and they're like, oh, my God, how have we been doing this? And something that was unthinkable the year before is, like, possible now and happening, and going back is unthinkable. So these campaigns are getting huge victories for animals, and it just continues to grow. The momentum of the animal rights movement right now has been stronger than any other point in history, I think, because of the internet and being able to spread information and connect with people very quickly.
This is all, I mean, just listening to all this, I mean, victory after victory after victory. This is so uplifting there, Malcolm, to hear, you know. And I know over in Chicago, they banned the horse carriages. Jody Woodigger, she was on the show, and she doesn't stop there. She keeps going. She wants to see it go nationwide, you know. So once you stop, you know, once you see a victory, you don't want to stop. You want to keep going. And like, I multi that task a lot, you know, help out elder abuse,
yeah.
And that needs a lot of help in that area. But I, you know, do whatever I can, you know, because it's not going to happen overnight, and we all know that. But the more, you know, Ray Bittner, a former guest on here, she always says strength in numbers. And that is so true. The more of us that come together, the activists, the stronger we become, the louder our voices get. And we're going to be heard.
Sure.
We're not going to be silent. We will not remain silent until justice is served. You know, we want to see justice totally for all of the animals. So we got a ways to go. It's a long road ahead, but we will reach this destination all in good time. Right, Malcolm? We're not going to give up.
Yeah, for sure. One other thing I'll mention is, like, these victories, though, are very important, because a lot of them, it almost creates a blueprint for other places around the world to replicate the win. For example, the California fur ban started initially with citywide bans. I think it was in San Francisco, Berkeley had banned fur. In the cities, and that has been spreading. Basically, I know activists have been taking a blueprint to contact the legislatures, create legislation in the United States at least. And they've banned fur retail, and I know two other cities, I can't remember the names, but I think they were out west. And, you know, these are going to be replicated again and again. And, you know, you can look to any animal rights campaign that had won. And, you know, take aspects of it and use it in your own activist work to win in your own communities. So, you know, by studying other wins, I think people can take the lessons that have been learned and apply them again. And it'll just spread even faster.
That's right. And just like strong leaders and supporters equals strong victories, everyone. So the stronger the team player is, you know, hey, we all work together and do our best, because, you know, these animals are so worth it, just like the children and the elderly, you know. So, and we got a caller here, Malcolm, on area code 719. Go ahead, you're live and on the air, Mama Cat. How are you?
My ears was burning, Debbie.
Well, you heard me say strength in numbers. How you doing, Mama Cat?
You got it. I'm doing great.
That's so true.
Hey, I just wanted to call him and tell Malcolm that he's doing a great job. I shared some of his info on my page. I'm going to share it we have a Canada group, and I'm going to share it up there and on our petition page, and I'll do as much as I can to get the word out. I want to watch that trial. Very interesting, very important that the word gets out about that stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for all the support. Yeah, a lot of people are very interested to watch this trial. I know hundreds of people have been calling in to get the link. It's going to be probably one of the most interesting trials to happen in the next few years. I can't give any details, but I know it's going to be very intriguing, and we're going to really put the fur industry on blast. So we're really going to drag with this trial.
That's what you have to do. You have to put them on blast because nobody else is doing it, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
They want everything for us to shut up. That's all they want, for us to just go away.
That's what they want.
Yeah, that's been nonstop. What I've learned by going through the court system here is the courts have a lot of power to kind of stifle information from getting out. For example, I had a pretrial in Kingston last year for the upcoming trial here, and the judge issued a gag order. Basically, the media wasn't allowed to report on anything that happened inside the courtroom, and people that were attending weren't allowed to write anything about it on social media, what they witnessed. So they're trying to hide it. Another way that I've been trying to be intimidated from proceeding with protesting fur in my activism is that I was sued by a fur farmer in civil court. I was actually at the pretrial hearing for my criminal trial, and at recess, some sleazy lawyer came up to me and gave me the civil lawsuit. He's like, "Hey, are you Malcolm? Here's your big envelope with 50 things that you're doing." They basically wanted to take all my GoFundMe money. One of the fur farmers that I had defeated in criminal court wanted to sue me in civil court and make me pay tens of thousands of dollars for damages, for ruining their reputation, for trespassing on their farm, all this crap. And these people are sick. I don't know the stuff they were doing to the animals. Like, it was the most disgusting farm I had visited. These people had baby minks. It was in June, so it's like their breeding season or whatever. Usually the floor is just a wire cage, but because the animals are so small, they had a little perforated piece of plastic out at the bottom with these holes, and they put the food on top of that. Usually it's on top of the cage, and the animals have to eat from the ceiling. But these animals' food was inside the cage, and they were defecating on their own food. They were urinating on their own food and eating it, their own waste. These are the people that are coming after me for a lawsuit. And in the newspaper, they're saying my flashlight hurt the animal's eyes. Like, this is the insanity we're dealing with.
Right. Oh, my goodness. And what they're doing to them? Whoa.
Yeah, it's criminal neglect. And the worst part is that the SPCA did nothing to help these animals. They didn't do anything at all.
Yeah.
Up to people like me and you and other activists to stand up for these animals however we can.
Is there still a gag order on this lawsuit that's coming out?
The criminal trial that's coming up, the lawsuit's kind of going nowhere right now. It's kind of dead in the water at the moment. I had some lawyers work on it all summer. But the criminal trial, I don't think there's going to be a gag order for this one, hopefully. But, who knows? They keep throwing curveballs at me and telling me stuff at the last minute. And, it's a hard process to go through. I don't even really know what's going on half the time, but I got very good lawyers that are taking care of me. So,
I'd love to live stream that on Facebook.
You would like to what there?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Say that again,
I would
please.
Love to live stream. I'd like to live stream the case on Facebook, but if there's a gag order or anything,
I'd like to do that too. But there's no gag order. You can talk about it, but you can't. I should tell people you can't film the proceedings. You can't record them. You can watch, but you can't record.
Bummer.
Which is the same if you went inside a court, so it's no different. But before, at my pretrial, people couldn't even talk about it. So that's how serious this is. It's attack on whistleblowers and freedom of speech and all this stuff.
They wouldn't have to worry about whistleblowers if they treated those animals with a little bit of love and respect. But
that's right.
I was reading.
It takes
50 to 60 mink hides to make one full length jacket. 50 to 60 animals. For one jacket. I was just floored by that.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Sick,
these days, though, I think most of the stuff is being used in trinkets. So, like, you see little balls of fur on people's hats, little mink balls of fur on keychains, mink eyelashes, you know. There's still the fur coat, but I think a lot of the strategy has been trying to add fur into garments or trinkets somehow on a smaller scale.
I saw an advertisement for mink eyelashes. That just made me sick.
I seen that, Ray. I couldn't see my eyes. Whoa.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. Why would you want to put another animal's eyelashes on your face?
Yeah, it's the weird customs and traditions of people. I don't know who came up with this insanity, you know. Who thinks this is a good idea? Some greedy crook out there, some fur farmer trying to make more money from people.
God. Well, thank you for everything you're doing about that. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and we had some mink farms out there as well. They treated the animals pretty good considering, you know, what it was. But nowadays, I mean, things have just gotten worse. It's like people just don't care, you know. They don't care what they do to them.
Yeah.
Well, they don't care what they do to each other, let alone
them. You know, nobody's watching these fur farmers, the government, the SPCA, the authorities. Nobody goes in and inspects the farm. So, you know, these videos I took were probably some of the first, you know, footage that people in Canada have seen inside a mink farm. It's insane what they're doing to these animals, and it has to stop now. You know.
It has to stop. Because it can't.
And they'd rather take people like you to jail. Shut you up.
Isn't that crazy, Ray? I mean, that is absurd. It's appalling. You're trying to protect them and make sure, you know, that they're living right, how they're getting treated, and then you end up getting a slap in the face. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? And I wish you the best of the best.
The animal ag industry, they're not just targeting people with, you know, through the law, this kind of stuff. People are actually being murdered now. I'm sure you guys have probably heard of Regan Russell. She was an activist outside Toronto. Yeah, she was murdered by a truck driver recently. There's actually a documentary coming out about that on Saturday. I can't remember the name right now, but, you know, tell your listeners they should, you know, give that a watch and learn about, you know, activists are actually being targeted by, you know, people in the industry. Like, the truck driver looked at her and then ran her over. Like, it was murder. Plain and simple. I don't know. The driver only got some kind of driving violation. You know, this is a huge miscarriage of justice. You know, like, I don't even know what to say about it. It's insane. It's on a whole nother level. You know, I want to say we're not the USA. Like, we don't usually see stuff like this in Canada. And it's really sad that, you know, people want to go do a peaceful protest and they have to worry about, you know, being run down. I actually used to go to vigils quite a bit in Kitchener, Ontario, and I was the one stopping the trucks there. And on quite a number of occasions, the trucks don't stop. They just try to run you over, like, you know, think you're going to jump out of the way. And I told myself, like, I'm not going to stop trucks anymore because of this. It's dangerous, and, you know, I don't want to lose my life for this. Like, I need to keep going to help animals. And, you know, it's finally come to the point where people are getting killed for, you know, to defend animals. It's insanity. So somebody could have bacon.
You know, I was at a truck stop several years back, and there was three or four big trucks, and they were hauling pigs, I assume to the slaughter place. And there was these cars, I guess they were following them. I'm not sure, but the cars pulled in behind them, and they had huge water bottles, and they were trying to give the pigs water through the little holes in the, and those poor pigs, it was, you know, 98, 100 degrees out. They've got nothing in there to keep them cool. And those truck drivers came out with huge baseball bats, swinging and hitting those people, and most of them were ladies, you know, all because they were giving them pigs
disgusting.
Water.
I know of, another activist recently went out to videotape an animal exploitation enterprise from the road, and they were followed by a pickup truck, and the pickup truck pushed them into a ditch. You know, and this is not, these aren't isolated incidents. I saw last week in Alberta, there was a documentary crew outside, I think it was a turkey farm, some kind of farm, animal farm. They were filming from the road, and farmers came with bulldozers and blocked their cars in, and basically threatened to, you know, they're going to beat them or murder them or some kind of crap until the cops came and showed up. But, you know, this is stuff people have to deal with, not all the time, but often enough that, you know, activists have to think about their security and, you know, deal with these, I don't even know what to call these people, you know, these bad people, you know, to think they have, they're entitled, they think they have the right to do whatever they want to animals or people.
Or people, yeah, that's the thing. So did the egg gag order go through? Is that a law there in Canada now?
Yeah, they have egg gag in Alberta and just recently Ontario. So far,
you know, and it just makes you wonder who the, if our government, you know, isn't going to stand up for these animals, who the hell is? If activists like you don't do something, yeah, that's it.
Sad, isn't it, Ray? I mean, it just, it's mind blowing. It's like these animals need
more
protection.
We're
never
going to stop, so. Whether the government passes the laws or not, you know, I'm the charge I'm facing that right now is one break and enter charge, and you know it could be a penalty up to 10 years, and that's, you know, way stricter than anything offered in the ag gag legislation. Any penalties? So, you know, even before this came out, like, I knew the risks, I knew what I was doing, I knew the consequences that were possible, and you know, I did it anyway. And people are doing this all over the world, and you know, we're not going to stop. These actions like meet the victims, you know, direct action everywhere, occupations of slaughterhouses, of farms, the undercover investigations, they're not going to stop. People are going to keep doing it, you know, even if the penalties are huge, because it's the animal's life at stake.
Yeah.
That's right. And you know something, we're down to 3 minutes here, Malcolm. I want to wish, like I said before, I want to wish you the best of the best in this mink trial.
Thank you.
And keep in contact, and I'd like to bring you back on in January. I'll be getting with you on this, okay? And so we'll see what happens, and I hope there's no jail or prison time, because you don't deserve that, you know? You're trying, you're doing something good and positive for the animals. You know, a positive
change. Yeah, they should withdraw it.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's
I'm
amazing
praying
you
for you.
Great, another great show.
And getting the word out.
Yes. I mean, Ray, thank you for calling in, okay? And
absolutely,
everyone,
and I'll be praying for Malcolm.
Yeah, say some prayers for him, Malcolm.
Thanks, guys.
We're awesome. We're by your side, okay? We're with you. We're standing with
Appreciate it.
Yes, and but I thanks for coming on the show this evening. It's been a complete, you know, honor and pleasure, and hope everything works out for you, because we can't give up. We can't stop here. And a big shout out to my mother, Pat, a.k.a. Moose, is listening this evening. Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Hey, Moose.
Thanks for your support.
Hey,
Mama Cat says, hi, Moose. And she's a, you know, she helps out the stray cats there, Malcolm. 125 of them she feeds in these colonies. So, Ray, thanks you for always your support on this show and your support you give me, too. Thank you. You're a great voice and a great advocate, and you're awesome.
Thank you.
But, everyone, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. A big shout-out to Take Action Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers today. Also, Care for Animals Support Group on Facebook. Ask to join. And we'll let you in, and there's all kind of ways you can take action there. The Paul's Call Show, thank you for help promoting these shows. Fans of Animal Rights, Mercy for Animals, number 2 group on Facebook, thank you. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Big thank you to Evan Pendle and Debbie Eisman. Voice for Animals on Facebook. Positive Actions for Positive Futures on our results on Facebook. Thank you very much. Go Orange for Animals support group. Thank you for all your help. A big, huge thank you to everyone. We can't give up. Let's keep trying and you know, take that action is the key. You know, so everyone have a nice and peaceful evening. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, Kate Brindle from Humane Society of the United States is coming back on farm animals, our discussion. So hope you tune in. Keep spreading the word. And may God bless you all. Thank you so, Malcolm, and so much, Ray. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye, Malcolm. Goodbye, Ray.